I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I am Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, for no other reason than I've seen a lot of stuff in the computer world and geeky things. Let's not forget the geeky things. I'm all about the geekery. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters because you never know. Sometimes you might have somebody, you need to have somebody to get your back. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of us out there broadcasting over the interwebs, and I are just one of them. I know that's not correct English pronunciation and, you know, derivative of grammatical correctness, but I just make it up as I go along. What can I say? Anyway, I started the netcast mere moments ago, and I didn't have my microphone in front of me. It was off over yonder to this side because, you know, it moves. I can move it where I want it because it's on an arm. But it was over there. It wasn't in front of me. So you weren't hearing anything. And I was like, yeah. So I started over. Do over. Okay. Anyway, you may have noticed last week that Fred, my dear imaginary friend Fred, was not on the program. It wasn't my fault. Fred wasn't available last week. He was off pursuing a book deal. I don't know how an imaginary friend writes a book, particularly the great American novel, but Fred has given it his best shot. So, he wasn't here last week. I think he was in New York. Maybe Simon and Schuster. I don't know. Anyway, but he is back, doing what he does so well, whatever that might be. Yeah, dream on. Okay, so we have stuff, as I mentioned, and the stuff this week includes Linus Torvalds. There was an old audio of him pronouncing his name because people wanted to know, how do you pronounce your name? And it went like this.
Hello, this is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux. See? As Linux.
Linus Torvalds. He is the creator of Linux. That wonderful, amazing, wondrous operating system that does everything so well was invented by one guy. And it took all of Microsoft's evil minions to come up with all the failed versions of Windows. Just saying. No, to be fair, Linus had help from the open source community because Linux is created by open source folk. So Linus was in front of his peers this past week, and he was talking about Linux, his favorite topic. And here's what they said in the article that was in eWeek. The Linux faithful gathered today at LinuxCon to hear core Linux developers, especially Linus Torvalds, and the audience wasn't disappointed. Yay! In a keynote panel session, Torvalds spoke of his hopes and the challenges for Linux in 2014. Linux kernel developer Greg Krora Hartman moderated the discussion and commented that Linux already runs everywhere. He asked Torvalds where he thinks Linux should go next. Torvalds said, I still want the desktop. As the audience erupted into boisterous applause. Yes, all us Linux geeks want to take over the desktop. Now, admittedly, there's not much of a desktop to take over these days. See Chrome on my Chromebook here in front of me? Windows has long been on the desktop, but there's fewer and fewer desktops. Now we're going to Chromebooks like this one. And other things like tablets and phones. People are using their phones for everything. Sometimes smartphones are a little too smart. They do everything. So there's not as much need for desktops. But Linus, you know, he's like me. He's an old geezer. Although he doesn't have a gray beard. He needs to grow a gray beard. But anyway, I was actually on Usenet. Yes, some of you don't even know what Usenet is. Go look it up on Wikipedia. Anyway, I was on Usenet minding my own business when I saw the email that Linus posted saying he was going to create a new operating system. And I went, dude, I want to be a part of that. Now, my programming skills are rather nil, so I couldn't help him program it, but boy, I could help test it. So that's what I did. I downloaded the very first test distro and started playing with it. And then I went on to Slackware, and I went on to all the other various kinds. Until today, I'm kind of mostly into Ubuntu-based Linux-y-s-s-s. Linux-i? Anyway. So, I use all kinds of Linuxes. Matter of fact, this server right behind me over here, you know, I would turn the camera, but I never can get it straight back where it should be. But anyway, over there in the corner is an Ubuntu server running airtime software to send out a internet radio station. You know, it's just everywhere. Linux is everywhere, as they said in the article. So, it's in embedded devices, tiny little things, you know, are running Linux. Raspberry Pi systems are running Linux. They're just little bitty cards. I mean, just all kinds of stuff these days is running Linux. But Linus wants it on the desktop. Dude, I spent about a year, a little over a year, with my only desktop at work being a Linux Mint desktop. And actually before that, I spent about 6 months with a Fedora desktop. So, it can be done. I have proven it. You might say, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you're a Linux geek. Well, I can't help that. It's what I am. I am what I am, because I am. To roughly misquote Popeye, he basically said, I am what I am. Yams? I don't think I'm into yams. They don't taste that good to me. Anyway, new hardware helps GameStop sales jump. That's hard to say. GameStop sales jump. So, not long ago, GameStop was in trouble. Their numbers in the stock market were not looking that good because people were kind of not buying games as much, you know, in the whole recession thing that was going on. So, now, though, with new game consoles out, it's mostly the hardware that's driving this, their sales are up 25% just in the second quarter. Whoa. Because of new next-generation console launches. The article here from Hot Hardware says GameStop reported a 25.1% increase in total global sales to $1.73 billion for its second quarter fiscal report of 2014, up from $1.38 billion in the same quarter a year ago. Wow. So the new game consoles are helping them out, which is a good thing. We want games to continue to be a thing. Particularly the Game Master, my son, Benjamin, the Game Master. He really wants games to go places because he's a gamer. Hardcore. Really, really hardcore. He even got a degree, 4-year degree at High Point University in game design. I mean, the dude is all about games. Know what I'm saying? So anyway, next item. Google wimps out and includes steering wheels on their driverless cars. Now, the whole point of a driverless car is not to have a steering wheel, to be able to just sit in the back seat, drink your Coke or Pepsi. It would be a Diet Pepsi if it were me, sitting in the back seat, just minding your own business and letting the car drive wherever it wanted to go. Well, basically, there were some governments, particularly in Europe, that said, no, you cannot do that. If you're going to test your car on our roads, you're going to have a steering wheel and brakes and stuff, like a normal car. The whole point is they're not a normal car. So Google went down and said, okay, we'll put it in there for now. And it's during the testing phase, so we'll give them a break on that. But at any rate, in the French Tribune, those French people, they said, according to a statement issued by Google, the company's driverless cars will be fitted with steering wheels during the testing phase. About the addition of steering wheels to its driverless cars, Google said that the move comes in compliance with the new California regulations. It wasn't just Europe, it was California too. Those people in California, they want new stuff, and then they keep everything back the way it was. Make up your mind, folks. Anyway. So, California regulations to be effective from September 16th, which necessitate that there should be a mechanism in place to take immediate physical control of a driverless car on a public road if required. I mean, if you're going to go geeky. That's what I say. Ha ha ha. Yes. Stranger things have happened, you know what I'm saying? Whoa! Yes, Fred, I know you're still there. Fred is playing the Geek Software of the Week drum roll to let us know that we have a new Geek Software of the Week this week, which is appropriate. So, good old Fred, he's right there, right on the edge, just always wanting to do something like that. So, anyway. The Geek Software of the Week this week is Soft Perfect's Network Scanner. Now, this is actually pretty cool. This Soft Perfect Network Scanner is a free multi-threaded IP NetBIOS and SNMP scanner with a modern interface and many advanced features. It is intended for both system administrators and general users. That would be you. General user. Okay. Yes, I know. General users interested in computer security. The program pings computers. Ping! Scans for listening TCP/UDP ports and displays which types of resources are shared on the network, including system and hidden ones. Yes. It can ping computers and display those that are alive. It's alive! Anyway. They can also detect MAC addresses, even across routers. Pretty cool. Detect hidden shared folders. Ooh, and writable ones? So if you think you've hidden your share with a dollar sign on the end, ha ha ha, I can use this software and find it anyway. See, that's an old trick in Microsoft networking. If you call your share something like net share dollar sign, then it will disappear. And the only way you'll be able to connect to it is to know the name of the share, including the dollar sign. Ha ha ha. But security by obscurity is not security at all, to quote many software mavens of the past, including myself. You may not realize this, but I actually have two separate security certifications, including one that's actually quite impressive. The eCouncil Security Analyst, ECSA. Which requires a lot of effort to get, believe me. Anyway, so I know a lot about security. You know, somebody's got to be secure out there. Anyway, so this whole dollar sign hidden share thing just won't cut it. Particularly with software like this around. Scans for listening TCP ports and UDP and SNMP services. Retrieves currently logged on users, configured user accounts, uptime, etc. And many, many more things. It's pretty cool, actually. It's really handy for sniffing out your network and finding what's out there. Kind of goes along with the one we had last time for security. It's been 2 weeks of security. What's up with that? Well, these are insecure times in the computer world, so we need more security. So there you go. Okay, last item, SpaceX rocket explodes. Yes, they actually exploded it intentionally. It was a safety feature because it was going wonky. We don't need rockets going wonky. That can be bad. Anyway, they say here in an article by Josh Lowenson from The Verge, SpaceX's rocket program suffered a setback today with one of its three-engine Falcon rockets exploding in midair during a test flight in McGregor, Texas. The company says it triggered the action after onboard systems detected that something was wrong. Yeah. Nobody was injured, local Central Texas news station KXXV reported. Well, good. I'm glad no one was hurt. But I have a picture here of the rocket blowing up. Pretty cool. Anyway, that'll do it for this week on the Netcast. Join us next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.